What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your host, Armand. You can follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. Clock Radio Speakers, powered by the good folks at Tumblr. Follow us there. Share your show. Share our shows. I'm sorry. We're also powered by SoundCloud. So soundcloud.com/clockradiospeakers. You can comment there. We respond to all the comments within the show. And then, of course, we're on iTunes. Please rate, review, comment, all that good stuff. Isn't review and comment kind of the same thing?
So, I guess technically people could like star it and then not really write a comment. I'll take whatever feedback you want to give us. Hopefully good feedback, but whatever feedback you want to give us, we'll take.
Yeah, absolutely. So all feedback is good feedback. Let us know what's going on, what you guys want to hear about, et cetera, et cetera. Talk to us. Holla at us. We holla back.
The Holla family.
The Holla family. William A. Holla and William D. Holla.
All right. We are about a minute in. I think we just lost like, I don't even know.
Go ahead, Doc. What's up?
What's going on, everybody? You can follow me on Twitter at @Doc_beats. That's not a Z. I want to thank everybody who listened to the last week's episode. We did the biggest numbers ever. That was our review of Marshall Mathers 2 LP. Even just our SoundCloud numbers alone blew out. It's funny, like, you know, it's great to see like the show's become more popular like over the years. Like, preparing for this week's episode made me think back to the first time that our episode numbers really popped, which was the first Church Close mixtape. When we reviewed that, and if we like the numbers that got me excited for that, now I would be like, oh no, we lost them. What do we do? So, you know, that's a real credit to the audience. Like, you know, people are telling friends, like sharing episodes on whether SoundCloud or Tumblr or Twitter or Facebook. Like, we really appreciate it.
Definitely. So I guess we've come full circle, right?
That's right. And actually, to that end, we've got something new.
What's new, son?
We're selling a T-shirt.
Word?
Official Clock Radio Speakers T-shirt.
More fanfare for that. You gotta throw some.
You know, I've been bothering Armand forever because, you know, we had to get like the original logo because it had to be nice and crisp. Because, you know, I wasn't trying to. We had a good copy, but, you know, I wasn't trying to have it be like a little blurry. Like, I'm a perfectionist, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, we're trying out a new website. It's called Teespring, T-E-E, and then the word spring. The advantage is it's actually really nice. Basically, we have to hit a threshold, so we got to get to at least 10 T-shirts. You know, hopefully we can get 10 people to buy some T-shirts.
We can get 10 people to buy some T-shirts, though.
Once we get to 10 T-shirts, you know, we have 3 weeks to do that. But basically, the advantage using Teespring, it's like crowdfunding for T-shirts. So we put it up there, and, you know, if you say you want to buy one and we don't get to 10 T-shirts, you know, it's not like you lose your money like it's Kickstarter, but, like, it just doesn't, you know, you're fine. Like, you know, you actually don't have to pay for it. But we hope that we get to 10 T-shirts, and we hope people want to buy them. And then what's really nice is they handle everything. It's all PayPal. They ship it right to you. You don't have to wait for us to get the T-shirts in and then ship them out and manage that whole thing. And it's only
$15. $15? That's so reasonable.
It's incredibly reasonable. I hope it's incredibly reasonable. And the whole point is we want to put it towards the show so we can do some better things. We've experimented with live episodes in the past. We've used Google+. There's some quality issues. There's some reliability issues. We like to do some different things, but these things typically cost money. So, you know, part of that is we got to, you know, beef up the technical end a little bit so we can both record, you know, in the way that we want to record, plus go live at the same time. Part of it is, you know, we might want, you know, some of the services that let you do live, they require a subscription. So in order, you know, we pay for everything that it takes to put the show together, you know, because we like doing the show. But this is a little extra. We're trying something out. So the whole idea is, you know, whatever we get from the T-shirts is going towards trying to put on a better and more, I don't want to say consistent, a live show that happens more often, basically, right? There not just live like 3 times a year, hopefully a lot more than that.
Yeah.
So I just talked for like however many minutes. Armand, you got to say anything else about the T-shirts?
I'm buying one this weekend.
You got to get one for the car. You got to get one for the crib. You got to get one. Oh, I just lost like 80 people there too.
Oh, no, man.
I hope not. Anyway,
Definitely buy the shirts. It's for a great cause. And ultimately, in true Clock Radio Speakers fashion, it is for the people. So, you know, me and Doc not finna go recreate the Money Ain't a Thing video. We're not going to be riding on horses in yellow suits.
I mean, if we sell enough t-shirts.
Yeah, we sell enough. We could totally do one that we should do. We should do a video for one of the songs of Kairos. Maybe do like for This Is Kairos or something. No, we should flip it and we should do a video for like Walking Contradiction.
And it's just me and Armand riding horses in slow motion.
Yeah, like, but
money like, flying everywhere.
Yeah, we're balling out of control and I'm sitting here rapping about having anxiety attacks and being depressed.
Anyway.
Oh, man.
We've talked about doing things like this in the past. So, you know, depending on how this goes, this site's got different options. We could try a hoodie next time, maybe different colors, maybe different sayings. I mean, frankly, you know, I may just go to Zazzle and put a little Clock Radio Speakers mug together for myself. But, you know, I need an official mug so when I can drink tea out of my official mug while I'm doing the show.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It snowed today in Ohio. So, I mean, you could, you know, get you a Clock Radio Speakers thermos. You know what I'm saying? Get your hot chocolate popping.
I need a cooler, like a Clock Radio Speakers cooler.
Yeah, like, you know what's funny, Doc? Like, that should totally be the angle that we go. Everybody does t-shirts and hats and keychains. Like, nah, son, let's do Tupperware.
You know, we could do trucker hats. Like, we could take it back to 03, you know. But no, anyway, hopefully I'll support. Hopefully I'll appreciate, you know, it's a t-shirt that you want to get. And then, you know, if it goes well, we'll try some other stuff. But
and where can they get this t-shirt at, Doc?
I apologize. I should have said it. It's Teespring, teespring.com/clockradiospeakers. Or you can just go to clockradiospeakers.com and we got a link. It's one of the posts up there. Or, you know, you can just add us and we'll send you the link. But teespring.com/clockradiospeakers.
It'll be on the Twitter, on the Facebook, at CRS Podcast, facebook.com/clockradiospeakers.
That's right.
It'll be at armandwakeup.com. I'll put a link up there. So pretty much wherever you see us at, we'll make sure that you see. But if you want to go directly to the site, it's teespring.com/clockradiospeakers. So.
All right. About us. Let's talk some music.
Let's talk music. What's going on in the news today? This week.
So this week we are going to cover in depth the sequel to Church Close 2. But before we get there, your man Eminem,
Marshall,
he did pretty good numbers.
Yeah,
was 778 79,
something like that. I thought it was 775. Did I read that wrong?
It's over 750,000.
Okay.
I think the only other debut that was even close was
Justin, right?
Was Justin? I mean, Justin was actually was like 200 grand more than that, but excuse me. Remember Justin's marketing rollout and the size of his singles, like gigantic.
Right, absolutely.
He was on Fallon for like a whole week. He did the SNL thing, which Eminem did. You know, he had the Target deal. He was everywhere.
He did the Grammys.
He had the whole rollout. I mean, Eminem. You know, this is a big come. This was a big comeback album for him.
But he really didn't do a lot.
You know, SNL was good. You know, he had the first commercial during what was it?
Was it the MTV Awards?
Yeah, MTV Awards. I don't know. You know, he's got a very loyal fan base.
Extremely loyal fan base.
You know, Berserk's on the radio. And, you know, whenever they decide to roll out the Monster and put the full Interscope marketing machine behind it.
It's a wrap.
You know, it's funny because we complimented that record on last week's episode, but you know, I can already see that, you know, come February I'm just gonna be like dreading hearing that song again.
Yep, it's a wrap. So how about since the show? Have you listened to it? Have you listened to the album since the show?
Nope. Look, I really like it. I'm not gonna lie. I've been preparing for Church Close 2 and. And I'm about to go see the Yeezus tour this weekend.
Ah, so you've been all Kanye. Yeah, I'm sure you're. Did that news roll out? That news rolled out right after last week's show.
Oh, that's right, because we talked about it, and it ended up that they did delay. They delayed a bunch of shows, including even Chicago, and then they just outright canceled some other shows. And of course, that was
That was like Columbus, Denver, like anywhere I would have went, they canceled. Like, oh no, you don't.
They were like, who's that? That's the guy. Oh, that's the guy on the podcast who hates Jesus. Yeah, we're no. No, you know what? They were overextended on logistics. Like they when they first did the tour schedule, they bit off more than they could chew. And they really, I still feel like they could probably do a better job of apologizing to people. I mean, people are getting the money back and, you know, but I don't know. I feel like they overestimated like greatly, you know, how much they could do just, you know, in terms of how many shows a week, how long it takes to get places, the complexity that's set. And we talked about it last week, but so I'm, you know, my show is the second show back. So, you know, I'm going to be sweating like, I'm Sunday morning because the show's Sunday night. Sunday morning, I'm going to wake up and, you know, let's just, you know, if I start seeing tweets about, you know, problems in the Jersey Turnpike or something, I'm going to be real mad. But no, hopefully everything goes off well. And, you know, I'll give a full review of Kendrick and Yeezus next week.
Cool. Looking forward to it.
Yes. You know, I made a big playlist on Spotify based off of some of the past leaked set lists, you know, get ready, which the only problem is I've been walking around at work, you know, rapping, you know, King Louis verse,
you know, that's not Jesus. Good. That's not good, right? I don't know. I haven't listened to Jesus in months, so I couldn't tell you.
See, we're gonna make you revisit it for the.
I'm lying because I did listen to it. My cousin was in town about a month ago, and he hadn't heard it. And he asked me to play it for him, but we didn't. We definitely didn't make it to the end of the album.
Oh, come on!
Definitely didn't. I think it got as far. I mean, he heard on site, and he was like, "What?" And you know, I think the only songs that we made it through was Blood on the Leaves and Bound, and he really wasn't even a big fan of Bound either. He said he was waiting on the drums.
Don't even get me started. No, that's all right, we're not talking about Yeezus again this week. What else are we gonna talk about? Oh,
your man
Aubrey Graham.
Yeah.
And his expanding cast of characters.
Right. It's him and his wacky friends on another harebrained schemed adventure.
Yeah, with a video for Worst Behavior.
Now remember, you were anti this song.
I was.
You did not like this song at all.
I don't know if I'd say I didn't like it at all. I would say that it gets better once he starts, you know, rapping. And not just shouting out, you know, worst.
That's the pull. Pete, I mean, he kills that second verse.
Yeah, you know, the mace flow and then, you know, all that.
And he switches it up, yeah.
But so interesting video just because, so it's in Memphis. So yep. His father's from Memphis.
Yep.
His father's in the video.
All in the video.
His father's rapping in the video.
Yes.
Well, I shouldn't say rapping. He is performing most of Drake's first verse.
Mm-hmm.
In I don't even say his Sunday finest. How would you describe the outfit of the older?
He is as they say in the Midwest and the South. He is casket sharp.
Casket sharp. Oh man.
He is ready to go. The all white suit. They got the guys with the orange. Like, yeah, that's straight Memphis. That's straight Midwest though, because St. Louis is not far from Memphis at all. So they really bleed into each other. So that whole video just reeked of St. Louis to me. It just reminded me of home. That is the Midwest that a lot of people don't talk about. A lot of people consider Memphis to be the South. You know, just because of, you know, like when people talk about the Midwest, they normally talk about like Detroit, which is, you know, when you talk about hip hop, you think of more of an East Coast style or whatever. But I mean, the Midwest is really a melting pot. But I'd say out of all three regions, between Northwest and East, or North, I'm sorry, Northwest, East and South. So that's four regions. I'm sorry, I'm bugging. I was going to say something else. But the South definitely has the biggest pull culturally on the Midwest. And the video just showcase that.
I would say that when people say the Midwest, I think that grouping that as a term is somewhat of a misnomer. There really are actually different, really distinct parts to the Midwest.
Yeah.
You know, like Michigan and Wisconsin really have nothing to do with Illinois south of St. Louis.
Yeah. Right?
Like they might as well be a, you know, that they
are. There's certain parts of Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
DJ Quick, just like Compton. Hey, I didn't heard some things about Wisconsin, dog. I've never been, but
I've been. I mean, shout out to Elwin, but
Oh yeah, shout out to Wynn.
My wife has family in Wisconsin. You know, it's I'm sure you know every place has cities and every city has grimy areas or whatever. But you just say there's a lot of cows, a lot of country in Wisconsin. You know, a lot of hunters. You get a lot of like that. It's very almost not quite. It's country. We'll say there's lots of it that are just country. We'll leave it at that. But I love how we started talking about Wisconsin. Anyway,
Wisconsin.
The Drake video also has his two friends. This whole like skit in the middle.
Yeah,
I've seen people giving a little backlash to that online. How do you feel about that?
It's one of those things where the first time I saw it, it was funny. But I mean, to me, I know when this video, number one, nobody's going to watch this video on MTV and BET or whatever. I know that version, I know they have probably an amended version that's cut, that cuts all that.
They must.
And the skit probably went a minute or so too long, but it's not like it didn't kill it. So, I mean, like, how about instead of complaining, you take your mouse and you scroll past the time when they're talking and go to the second verse? Like,
yeah, relax. I think it's kind of funny. And I'm surprised nobody's thrown money at them yet. They're angling for an OVO reality show. But the problem is really that, you know, look, no disrespect to Juicy J. He is not an actor.
Oh, come on. You're not going to slander. you're not going to slander. Welcome to Hollywood.
All I'm saying is, you know, let's just say the acting strategies at play, the amateur acting on both sides strategies at play between Drake's friends and Juicy J, didn't quite match. But
whatever.
You know, you got cameos from, you know, Project Pat and Juicy J. What is up with DJ Paul and Juicy J? Does anybody know why aren't they?
I mean, there was an interview where Paul was trying to get 3-6 back together, and pretty much everybody said that they were down. And
they just put out a mixtape today. Everybody minus Juicy.
Yeah. So Juicy just kind of, I don't know.
I mean, Juicy J made a solo album and he was nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
That's tough.
That's crazy. All that history, man. Mm. Maine. I just think, here's how I think about them. I think about, what's that movie? Hustle and Flow.
Yeah.
It's your man, what's that dude's name? What's that dude?
Terrence Howard?
Terrence Howard. And his horrible Memphis accent. Hey, man. All right. But yeah, hey, before we talk anything else, Drake, and I was going to ask you when we talked Eminem numbers, what did Drake do first week? Didn't he do 7-something?
I thought he did like 680, which is good. I mean, those are good numbers too.
Yeah, still good.
I mean, let's be honest. Those are incredible numbers, right?
Especially if he's only 100,000 or less than 100,000 away from Eminem.
Although I would say this is Drake in his prime.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know. To me, it's weird because it could be a career where, you know, some careers people have two primes.
And
you kind of don't realize that the person is in their prime until they slowly start. Kind of like we didn't know Jay was in a certain zone until he, you know, fell out that zone. And we were like, whoa, wait a minute. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if we can define his same thing with Kanye. I don't know if we can really define Drake's prime until his next album. But,
I would say he's clearly in it. I mean, I'm not saying that that he may not have another one or that there's a – I'm not saying when the start of the finish. But this is, you know, the last couple of years, this has been his time.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I'm saying. Whereas, you know, artists like Jay, and M, they are on the, well, they are perceived, at least to typically how old people get in hip hop, they are perceived to be on the tail end of their careers. Now, who knows? Right? They could keep going. They certainly have the fan bases, especially M.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know if people, never mind. We talked about that last week. Go listen to the episode. They'll go listen to the episode last week if you haven't already.
All right. Anything else you want to say before we?
Let's do it. I'm ready.
All right.
I'm ready.
So last time, so we've caught a lot. I should say I've caught a lot of flack.
You?
Yeah.
No.
Nope.
Okay. Would you catch flack for?
The Church Closed 2 episode. I mean, sorry, the original Church Closed episode.
Dude, I got killed.
You got killed because of me.
Nah, I got killed. I got killed because of the show. Everything. And I'm gonna talk about that. And I haven't talked about it, but I'm gonna divulge into a little detail.
Okay.
So get the bombs ready. Get the flex bombs ready for me.
But all I wanted to say is, despite the pushback that we got, I stand by everything that we said.
Yep.
And I did not at all let that impact my review, you know, what we're about to talk about right now. Mm. I'm not saying that in a good or a bad way. And I'm also trying to say that, you know, we don't go at this trying to be controversial. We're not like trying to get, you know, our SoundCloud numbers up or whatever. Like, come on.
We constantly talk about how corny it is to do stuff for another reason. Like that, like to kind of be thirsty. We talk about that all the time. If you listen to the show, that's not good for business.
No, and honestly, like it's funny. Like I'm glad that we're on SoundCloud now. That's what's hosting our audio because it's unlimited for the whole year. Ironically, it used to be that because we don't get advertising for this. Like we pay for this all out of pocket. The way our old setup was basically the more listens, the more I paid. So like I would be like, well, I want it to be good but not spectacular, you know.
Not that good though.
No, but no, you know, I just want to, like, I don't want people to think that we're trying to be, you know, over the top. And you know, we feel very passionately about music, clearly sometimes too passionately. But see, now I'm gonna hype up what we're about to do, when you know we're just reviewing some music.
And I have to say, then my aim is not to, because we're in the same, Lecrae and I are in the same field, so to speak. My aim is not to belittle one to praise something else. And if you listen to the show, you know that I hate that when people say, oh, this is whack, you should check out this.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's corny, because if it's good, it should stand out on its own to the point to where you won't even have to compare it or contrast it with something else in order for it to stand out. So it definitely, I mean, judging by the response that I got and everything that I had to deal with because of this episode and the review for Red, oh my God, like there's no way that you could say this benefited Armand, because it actually, in retrospect, did quite the opposite.
Mm. So let's talk about all that at the end.
Okay.
And let's talk about the music, because that's what really matters.
I was getting there. I was getting ready to fire off, but all right, we'll wait.
You want to go?
Look, I'm trying to figure out what I want to share and what I don't want to share.
All right, so let's...
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, so let's talk music.
Let's talk music first? Okay, let's talk music first.
So why are we seeing a Church Closed 2?
I don't know.
Church Closed 1, please correct me if I'm wrong, was meant to be his introduction to mainstream. Is that an accurate way to put it?
I would say that.
Alright. And by all accounts it was successful.
Absolutely. And it set up Gravity.
Set up Gravity, which he got a Grammy for.
Yep. Extremely successful album.
So, what's interesting is now he's coming back. He's building a brand now, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So clearly Church Closed 1 did enough and was popular enough, at least, you know, in his eyes, with not just Christian hip hop fans, but with non-Christian hip hop fans, with fans who would not typically listen to a Christian hip hop project. Mm-hmm. Right? It was popular enough that he felt, let's build that brand and let's go back again.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting to me is that this is available on, not just as a mixtape on Dat Piff, but via iTunes as well.
Yeah. How do you feel about that? How about that layout? Because now you're getting, Nipsey Hussle did that. A couple people are doing it now where they'll release, they'll get with the DJ,
yep.
And they'll put out the DJ style for the DJ tape or the DJ version, I'm sorry, for free.
Yeah.
And then they'll put out the no DJ on iTunes. How do you feel about that?
I think it's smart.
Yeah.
Because clearly you need to get, you have to give people that instant access with streaming, but then you also want to show some sort of way to let people support who want to support or give some sort of incentive. I mean, yeah. I could tell you the first time I heard this, I heard the DJ version.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated that when I got the iTunes version, I didn't need to hear Don Cannon.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. It was immediately obvious, like, oh, like, even, especially the first track. I was just like,
if you have not listened to this tape without Don Cannon, if you listen to the no DJ version, you know, if you want to purchase it, it's on iTunes, all that stuff, but it's on Spotify.
Yeah, and that's okay. Now, see, I was meaning to check that and I forgot to today. It's on Spotify.
Yep.
Which you can listen for free and stream for free.
Yep.
Or you can go to Dat Piff and stream with a DJ?
Yep.
That I actually kind of don't understand.
You know, the more I do this show and the more I talk to people and the more kind of people watch, the more I realize that you and I, and there's a sect of us, the average person on the internet still isn't that tech savvy.
Mm, okay.
So to me, making the album available everywhere and just because what happens is a lot of people who put their albums on Spotify, which is everybody, they understand the benefit of it. They don't promote that. I put Kairos on Spotify.
I was going to say, this is a great segue because I know you want to talk about this.
Yeah, I put Kairos on Spotify and I'm finally getting numbers back from my distribution to see how much, you know, how much it breaks down, how many, it doesn't break down. Oh no, it breaks down how many spins I get on Spotify and then how much I get per spin and what I end up getting per day.
Yeah.
So let me tell y'all just an example. So on one day, Genesis Revelation was played 30 times.
Okay.
You know how much money I made off of those 30 spins from Spotify?
30 cents?
19 cents.
Mm. So that's 2/3 of a penny.
Duh. So, you know, you kind of got to look at it from another angle where it's like, I look at my Bandcamp spins, and I got some spins on the Bandcamp.
Okay.
So a part of me wonders, well, dang, if I would have put it on Spotify that first day, how much money, because I don't get paid off of those Bandcamp streams, but how much money would I have made had I made the album available on Spotify earlier and taken advantage of that? So you might be mad at 19 cents. Yeah, that's kind of corny for one song on one day, but you know, 17 tracks, however many spins a day for a whole month, you know, that could add up with the right fan base. It's not your bread and butter, but it's better than nothing. So
you better be torn with that kind of right. Right. I mean, you can't rely on CD purchases.
Not at all. Not at all. You got to find other streams of revenue, merch.
No. Yeah. And you know, it's interesting. Like we support Spotify because I think it's, you know, Spotify, you know, RDO, stuff like that. Like, I think that those are the best of what we got right now, but I still think they're fundamentally flawed.
Yeah. And we've talked about that and I don't want you to tell your secrets again because they're really good ideas.
No, I would say they're flawed because they attempt to mimic the iTunes strategy, right? It's all sort of got to be a major label, or if you're an indie artist, you got to get a distributor who has to get it in there. And there's too many middlemen.
Yeah.
So it is ripe for disruption.
Yeah.
Right. iTunes was created because it was the first time that people, and this is the one of the best things Apple ever did, right? Is they convinced the record labels, look, we can be this trusted middleman, right? We can put your stuff online, you know, we're going to give people a really easy way to buy digital music so that they don't, if when they want something, they don't have to think, oh, it's such a pain to get it the other way. Let me just go, you know, Google it and get the MP3. Now, people still do that, obviously. But, you know, they made it so that you had to, you really had to not want to pay, right? It wasn't, because before, people forget, before iTunes had MP3 sales, like, if you wanted a digital version of a song, they really went out of their way to make it a painful experience, right? So that's why iTunes is set up the way that it is the whole reason it exists is because it had to be friendly to the major labels. So I think that they are ripe for disruption as well, but I get it. What I don't really get is why all these streaming competitors are the same thing.
Yes.
Just streaming. Like, if you're an independent artist like Armand and you want to get your thing on the store, why are you going through a middleman? That is ridiculous. Right? There is a combination of Bandcamp and Spotify, you know, that needs to exist out there. Someone's going to get this right. And, you know, it can be a mix, right? There's no reason why you can't have, you know, honestly, it's sort of an equivalent of, I mean, even though, you know, on the App Store, you know, at least for the app, for Apple stuff, Apple has to approve it. But, you know, if you are an independent software developer on Android side, you just upload it to Google Play Store. On the Apple side, you just upload it to Apple, and Apple doesn't verify it for like, oh, well, are you a major or whatever? They just make sure that it, you know, runs and functions and that it doesn't violate someone else's, you know, make sure that you're not like ripping off Nintendo when you make a game or whatever. But like, that's it. You know, everybody's on equal footing in the store, right? You don't advertise in there. You don't like, you know, the new game from EA shows up right alongside that indie developers. And then it's up to, yeah, you know, what marketing are you doing outside? How popular are you and all that? But it's a much different scenario. And I think someone's going to get that right with music, right? The streaming music equivalent of an app store. All right.
True.
Now I just bored everybody. And I said no, we were going to talk about the music, and we haven't even talked about the music yet.
Yes, we are. Oh, on a side note, just announced. Mm. Well, not announced officially, but rumblings in the industry. Your man Ross got that pushback.
Why?
I don't know. Probably they saw that No Games wasn't really getting a lot of burn, and, you know, Def Jam got scared again.
I mean, either that, or, I mean, he's coming out, what, December
17th.
Do they have anything else for the fourth quarter?
No. That's, I think that was the last major release.
Well, there you go. Right. Push it because you got to. Right. People, you know, we got end of the year bonuses on the line.
Mm.
That's me being cynical. I haven't heard anything from Ross that leads me to believe that we're going to hear anything different.
No.
Or anything better.
There's the gunshot.
You know, not only do we know what we're getting with Ross at this point, have we heard anything that's better than what we heard a year and a half ago from Ross?
I remember you said it last week. You said you missed Teflon Don Ross.
At this point, I might take, you know, MMG Volume 1 Ross. Like, we are now, he is just a derivative of himself. I mean, maybe he's saving something for the album, but, you know.
We'll see. He's supposed to, you know, he was supposed to leak that record with Jay, pretty soon.
That would be stupid.
I mean, he did it last time with Three Kings. Did that work?
I mean, people got excited, but that was much closer to the leak date of the album.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, that's the one where, you know, you got to take what comes out December 17th, like two and a half weeks before, you got to take that to Flex and get him to do his Flex routine.
That's that far out?
I mean, maybe even closer, but it'll leak a week ahead of time. So you got to.
Oh, right.
All right. So let's talk about Lecrae.
Back to Lecrae.
It's track one. Co-sign part two.
Yeah.
Produced by 808, Elite, and Street Symphony.
Yep.
How you feel about this track?
I like it. What I did was, did you listen to Church Clothes 1 again?
I did not. I know there's a co-sign part one there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what I did was I have a theory about Lecrae and about this album that I will share at the end. But what I did was I kind of went track for track and said, okay, so which one on part one is the improved version on part two. And there are a couple of records that are like that, and yep. I'll note them as we go along. But Cosign Part 1 was like, we talked about it, was like too overdramatic. You know, by that point, we were tired of the choir sample. You know, Doc and I know that sample, right, like you don't touch that because that's Jeezy, that's Trap or Die. You don't touch that sample. But this was a lot better. It was a lot more subtle, but it still felt urgent. A different flow from Cray, which I'll talk about as we get on with this project. But I like the beat. You know, I like the song. It wasn't too much. It wasn't subdued, but it wasn't, you know, unleash the flutes on them. But I liked it. I liked it. What about you?
I will say that if you've only heard the DJ version, your first thought is going to be, all right, Don Cannon, can you just stop it? The version with Don Cannon feels very like 2007. And frankly, the concept of a cosign is super 2007, but I'm going to talk about that later on. So I'll just say that I say this is a nice opener. I think the beat's cool. I think Lecrae's good on it. It's an improvement over part one, over cosign part one. It's a good opener to the mixtape.
Okay.
Cosigning. Anyway.
Okay, let's go into track two.
Believe, produced by Dunlap and Street Symphony. Street Symphony is the he's all over this executive producer, I believe.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Believe?
I like this too. You know, yeah, I like this too. There's so much I want to say, but I don't want to give it away until we talk about the album in full. But
okay,
I like this. This is cool.
This beat is all right. My problem with this is just, and here we go, I'm gonna make people mad. This is another one of those, you know, I might be a Christian, but I can rap, believe me, type songs. I don't think we need to do that anymore. It's okay. That's all I really got to say about it. It's all right.
Okay.
Devil in Disguise featuring Kevin Ross, produced by DJ Official.
Yeah.
How you feel about this one?
This felt like Walk With Me from Gravity.
Mm-hmm.
This actually feels like a better version. I like, you know, if you guys remember, and I will talk about it then, I wrote the review for Gravity on Rapzilla. And one of my beefs with the album was that Lecrae was very roundabout with him when it came to, you know, him and how he fits into the scheme of his walk with God. And this felt more personal. This was more like, you know, like I'm really in this, as opposed to, you know, what a lot of preachers and teachers do is they talk about the people, but they never really put themselves in the fire. This is him in the fire. It's I hear his conviction. I hear it. I can feel it. So, you know, I like this record.
So this hook is not really good to me. It's not my favorite hook. We'll put it that way. But, you know, the beat's pretty good. You know, obviously rock inspired. It's got a nice like evolution to it as the verse goes on. You're right. It reminds me of that track from Gravity. But I aside from the hook, I would say it's a better version. The hook. Actually, I'm just going to say this. There's a lot of hooks on here I have real problems with.
Yeah.
This hook just isn't really my favorite, but the song is cool. It's cool.
Yeah.
So track four, The Fever.
Yeah.
This song, I like this song. I think I'm one of the few.
No.
Okay.
You people don't like this song?
I saw some, I will say, I...
Where do you go to read your comments, Doc?
Rapzilla.
Strike three.
No, you know, no disrespect to Rapzilla. It's just like any place on the internet, comment sections are, whew.
Sheesh.
And you know, there's a lot of Lecrae fans in those comments.
Oh yeah.
And the Lecrae fans in those comments, they didn't, you know, The Fever didn't seem to really be a favorite.
Well, you know what? I don't like Lecrae on The Fever.
So who do you like?
The record does not turn up, as the kids say. Until
we're going to talk about turning in a minute, but
Andy Mineo, when the beat switches,
Yeah, and he's got like the flow is like interplaying with the tempo, and dope. I like that a lot.
It works, and then what it does is for me, it brings the hook out. It brings the reggae swing of the hook out, because on Crazed verse, the beat is very standard 808 trap. All right, whatever. I've heard this before. And then you can't really tell. But if you start the record at Andy's verse and then you play the rest of it out, it's a much better record.
See, I actually think that by the end of it, like, I get, like, I really like how they're progressing the beat, but I think they almost, like, they got a little too caught up and excited with how, like, oh, I can do this and do this. It's like, they almost needed to, like, bring it back down at the end. But I'm nitpicking here. I think it's a good, to me, this is, like, definitely one of the best songs in the album.
Minus the Ned Flanders Oakley Doakley line. Never mind. I'm gonna wait.
Okay. So we like this one. Hey, we like this one.
I'm good right now. Like, all right. I'm low key 4 for 4.
Okay. I'm 1 for 4.
Well, you said all right and cool. You haven't said anything is trash yet.
No, not at all. But you know, it doesn't mean it's all right anyway. Let's talk about I'm Turnt, featuring produced by KE on the track. And I should say the last one was produced by, is it Tyshane? Tyshane?
Yeah, Tyshane. Yep.
Tyshane. So I'm Turnt. As soon as I heard this, first thought that came to mind was Mustard on the Beat.
R.I.P. just killed the club.
I think it's pretty obvious what they are going for here.
Yeah. A little bit, you think?
Just a little bit. You know, the whole concept of being Turnt, even though you're not actually rolling, like, all right, we get it. We get it. This is not my favorite track.
I don't like the song at all.
It's a skipper to me.
It's just awkward.
What's awkward about it?
Like, I'm gonna say this because I like what the Bay is doing. I like the fact that the West Coast is finally like starting to make their own sound and different variations of their own sound. So Nipsey doesn't sound like Dom, who doesn't sound like Black Hippie, who doesn't sound like YG, who doesn't sound like Problem. YG and Problem sound a little bit alike. But so there's different styles to the West Coast. What happens is in true hip hop fashion, other people hear that or they go out. It's two things if you don't know this.
Tell them why you're mad, son.
I'm never mad in my Agility Kid voice when him and Beanie Sigel was rapping or fighting on the radio. No, this is what rappers do. Rappers will seek out a different or regional sound for two reasons. One, either to revitalize their career, or two, so to build another fan base so they can go out there and make money. So, you know, I'm not a big, and this is just not Lecrae. I don't like when Jeezy does it. Jeezy's been doing it a lot lately, and I don't like it. You know, just rapping on those types of beats, and it's like, it just feels disingenuous.
I mean, what about when 2 Chainz does it?
You know, what example? Were you talking about I'm different? Because I don't like different. I don't like I'm different.
Okay.
It's a hit record. I can't deny it's a hit record, but I don't like it. But it doesn't, I guess I'll say this though, when 2 Chainz does it, it doesn't come off as forceful as Jeezy does, or as forceful as this track. Because this track, and there's another one towards the end that just stick out like sore thumbs, like, you know, but nah, I'm good. But long story short, I'm cool off this record. I'm cool.
Okay. Track 6, Let It Whip, featuring Paul Wall.
Paul Wall, baby.
Produced by David Banner and Hector Delgado. Paul Wall and David Banner.
Man, I need his little flip now.
2005, Doc, is very exciting.
Chameleonaire, Slim Thug.
Slim Thugga, yeah.
You know. Magno, Mike Jones.
Who? I'm cool with this song. We know, to me, like, I don't know, we know exactly what this is. It's like, it takes you about 5 seconds to realize what the song is going to be. I don't know, like, this is the type of record that, frankly, like, Crit does better and has done, like, 20 times over the past 3 years. I mean, no disrespect. I'm just, you know, it's cool. Like, it's not really doing anything for me.
That no, hold on. Okay. And you just and this is what you made me realize, that this really is a big crit B.
There's actually another one later on that is
okay,
really a big crit B. But yeah, this is, to me, this is like a big crit B.
Yeah, and I like it.
Okay.
I like this beat a lot. Cause you know, at first I was, when you first hear the drums, you're like, oh great, it's the Houston song. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Volume One had Welcome to H Town. So I'm like, all
boy,
right.
I got in trouble for that one.
Yeah. but when that sample cuts in, that did it for me.
I don't even see. I don't like the sample on here.
That did it for me. Cause I don't know. No, I can't say that because you're a fan of Screw. You're a fan of Screw.
Yeah. I mean, like, before we started recording, you know what I was chopping and screwing.
What were you chopping and screwing?
Little Jody Watley, you know, just
Oh wow.
Uh-huh.
You were really trying to get on this tape, man. That's crazy.
Anyway. No,
I like this song. I like this song. I'm not mad at Paul Wall on it. Paul Wall does Paul Wall.
That's true. He sounds like he hasn't missed a beat.
Sounds like Paul Wall. I've heard people say that Paul Wall's verse is worse than No Malice's from Church Clothes One. That could not be further from the truth.
Mm. It's a Paul Wall verse.
It's a Paul Wall verse. That was not a No Malice verse. I don't know what that was. But verse. So I like this song. This song is dope.
Track 7. This isn't even that long of a track. Sellout, produced by Dirty Rice and Street Symphony.
Yeah.
Nah.
You don't like this one?
No. The beat's not really doing it for me. And you know, the concept's a little too on the nose. Like, okay, we get it. Subtlety is not the name of this song.
Can I tell you something, Doc? Can I let you into a, can I let you in on a little secret?
Okay.
Okay, so I'm gonna address. I mean, God, there's so many things I want to address with this project. I would say that people always look at Christian hip hop and all the problems that's with it or whatever. But to me, Christian hip hop is merely a byproduct of the Christian community, of the church, okay, as, so to speak. And sometimes the church doesn't do subtlety really well. Mm. Sometimes, and a lot of people, they don't want, and I'm not saying everybody, I'm not generalizing at all, but largely, they want you to, I thought I heard something, I'm sorry. They want you to, almost they want the pastor to do everything for them. So you tell me what scriptures to read, you tell me what to pray about, you tell me what God said, as opposed to actually going out and doing it yourself, which both are necessary. A pastor is necessary, but your own relationship is necessary. What a lot of Christians do is, or what some Christians do, is they want you to spoon feed them, so that when they fail or when something happens that you didn't tell them was going to happen, they have a scapegoat. They have someone to blame. So I'm not mad at this because I understand that sometimes you just have to go at the elephant in the room. So I'm not mad at the song. The song is cool. But there are a couple of songs on here, and that is an overall theme of this album, where it's like Captain Obvious is definitely present and accounted for on a lot of this album.
Absolutely. And I would say, you know, this is clearly something that is a direct response to people who did not appreciate that he did the first Church Close.
He's taking shots all on this project. He's definitely taking shots on this project at a lot of people.
All right. Anything else about Sellout?
Nope.
So track 8, Lost My Way, featuring King Mez and Daniel Day, produced by Boy Wonder and Dizzle.
Okay, so let's talk about part one, because Boy Wonder, to me, needed to redeem himself after Give Me a Second, which I caught backlash for saying that was a horrible beat and saying it was a throwaway.
Throwaway.
This is the throwaway to you?
Absolutely. This beat is cool, but this is not at all what I'd expect from Boy Wonder.
What is the last really dope Boy Wonder beat that you've heard? He had a couple of... I need you to listen to a guy named Bizzle.
I heard the first single.
Okay, so yeah, his album, I think Boy Wonder did... I think there's like 18 tracks. I think Boy Wonder did 11 or 12 of them or something like that. Okay. So, but what was the last Boy Wonder beat you heard that was like, yo?
That's a good question. I'm doing my Google right now. I'm trying to do it on the phone so I can, I wanted to confirm. I mean, him and 40 and Vinyls did No New Friends.
I hate No New Friends. DJ Khaled. He did not do, contrary to popular belief, he did not do 5 a.m. in Toronto.
Who did it?
Some guy.
You sure?
I'm positive.
Hold on.
He's credited with it, but he didn't do it.
Okay. Now you got me looking. Yeah, except, I mean, he's talking about producing it. Like, he co-produced it with Vinyls.
Yeah. Okay. He co-produced what, 5 a.m. in Toronto?
Yeah, with Vinyls.
Oh.
I'm reading an article, Hip Hop DX.
I don't know. I don't know. When producers talk about records that they did, I'm always, especially when I hear that other people didn't mean that they did it, maybe sold it. Maybe they D-dotted it. You know? Maybe he was just there and he was like, you know how you can get this to Drake? I'll buy it off of you for whatever, whatever. I'm just proposing a suggestion. Okay. That's all. All
right. Well, so to go back to Lost My Way, is your general theory that Boy Wonder is not the producer that we think he is right now? Or that he has maybe lost a step, or maybe he's just not doing the same types of tracks he used to do?
I don't know, man. Like I said earlier, I think, T-Minus.
What happened to T-Minus?
He gave his life to the Lord, and
he can still make beats, man.
Yeah, he's supposed to be, apparently he can still make beats. Apparently, he's supposed to be coming back. He just kind of went, get his personal life straight. But he's, from what I understand, he's slowly creeping back out.
Okay.
So you got T-Minus, and who else am I thinking of that has just been killing it?
I need him to do the intro for God Only Shines on Sundays. I mean, Anyway.
Are we gonna do the whole thing? Are we gonna do like, all right, we're gonna do the church organ and like,
yeah, we try. And then I'm gonna be doing drums in the back, like drum rolls
Listen, I don't think I told this story before, but back in 2005, around the time when I first got saved, I sent Doc some gospel records. Like, yo, can you sample this? You know what Doc's response was? What do you want me to do with
this? Now, granted, 2005. I was an awful producer. Just awful.
Oh, stop it.
No.
You did Close Your Eyes. Nobody knows.
Yeah. Have you heard those beats? I did not meet a hand clap I did not like. Like, it was a struggle.
You are a layering fool with those hand claps.
Drums on drums on drums, man.
Man. But anyway, back to Lost My Way. I'm not... This is my problem with this song.
Okay.
The verses are cool.
Okay.
This hook makes me want to join the army.
This hook is not good. Sorry.
The hook makes me, this hook reminds me of like Calvin working at Wack Arnold's. Like, it just reminds me of like, I don't know, man. Yeah.
No.
I got to take the SAT in the morning and I'm stressed out. That's what this reminds me of. But yeah, this hook is bad. But the song, the verses, I'm not mad at. But this hook is just...
Oof. Well, I mean, I don't know. The way it's funny. Like, so we don't like the hook and the beat is... So how could the song be good?
Sometimes artists can take decent beats and turn them into good songs. Like, I'm not... Like I said, I mean, I didn't say the beat was whack. I said the beat was better than Give Me a Second. Like, I'm not mad at the beat. It's straight.
It's okay.
It's straight.
It's all right.
But, you know, like, it's cool. It's all right.
All right. Track 9.
Yeah.
Misconception Part 2 featuring... is it We Live as Kings?
Yep.
Produced by John John Trax.
Yep.
This beat is okay. It's kind of different at parts, but it's okay.
My problem is, is two things. I know We Live as Kings personally, so yep. I'm a little biased.
Okay.
And I know everybody who is at Collision's arsenal, primarily Wit and Dirty Rice, and I'm like, why are you rapping over this? Like, I didn't really. The beat was, it's okay.
Yeah.
The beat is all right.
I don't really like the hook either.
The hook is straight. Usually pretty good with hooks. The hook, it's just this, the song, like the format of it is really awkward.
The verses are too long. Like, I feel like
do you think the verses are the problem?
What do you?
Aren't they like 8 bars each?
This just feels long. Maybe it's the beat, like it's dragging. I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah, it's something. because you know, Dre goes first. Once Dre gets into his verse, I'm like, all right, and then it's over. And I'm like, wait, come back. So I don't know. It's like,
could have been like, considering the parties involved, we expect a little more. Is that accurate?
There we go. There we go.
I'm trying to save you here. You're floundering out there.
I'm not floundering. I'm just okay. Maybe I'm.
It's all good. I understand. Like, you know.
It's that curl not quite right, Luther. Like, it just won't just curl the way that, you know what I'm saying?
These artists on a different beat, and you know, sorry, John John Trax, but like, I hope you have better beats. This beat is just not really, it doesn't fit this song, it doesn't really fit what I think they're trying to do.
And especially with Misconception, part one was so hippity hop, rappity rap, it had Humble Beasts on there, and they were, you know, flippity flopping, doing all that stuff. Like, it was just, I don't know. Yeah. Okay. I'll let you tell it.
All right, we'll move on to the next one.
Okay.
Round of applause. Featuring your man Bobby Ray.
Bob.
Produced by KE on the track.
Yeah.
I see you, KE, on the track taking Mike Will style for the intro. But it's no, it's all good. We're all doing it. I'm not mad because this beat is pretty good. I like this song. This is one of the best songs in this mixtape.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
This is where my theory begins to kick in that I'll talk about a little later.
Robin Hood theory?
Make sure you spell hoods with a Z at the end, though. Z, not an S.
That's the t-shirt I needed to make.
You do need to make a Z, not an S. We need Z, not an S. We need who... We need diced pineapples. We need Biz Sweets.
With like 80 keyboards underneath the words Biz Sweets.
Yeah. We need like Keyboard Cat just like surrounded with keyboards.
Oh, and see tugboats.
Yeah, we need tugboats. Mm. We could get the wrestler tugboat, like a picture of him.
That's a little too meta. Like, that's a joke on a joke. Like, there's like seven people in the world who will get that.
And those seven, if we need 10 shirts, that's seven. You and I would make 8 and 9, and we just.
I included you and I in those seven. What do you? Anyway, sorry. Round of applause. So you don't like this?
I feel like I've heard it before.
Okay.
And I'm going to say that about the next few songs.
Mm.
Actually, the rest of this album.
Mm. This was technically kind of the first single, right? This came out back in May.
Was it? I thought
Memorial Day, like actually graduation time.
Oh yeah. Because the song's about graduation. Yeah. Why did I think it came out on New Year's or something? But okay. Yeah. It did come out around graduation. I do remember that.
Like, to me, like, the hook works for this. The beat for the hook's pretty dope. I think Bob gets the best of Lecrae on this. I like this one. It's very commercial.
Yeah, I mean, look, he by all intents and purposes, he's a commercial rapper, quote unquote. So
I'm not mad at it. And yeah, I mean, I agree that I've heard this before, but I mean, it's well executed. I'm not mad at this, but you got a theory that's emerging.
Yep.
Do you want to clue people in on this theory, or you want to wait, or okay?
I'll wait because I have a lot to say.
Okay. But so this is like bottom half of the album, bottom third of the album for you.
Yeah, it starts to get a little. These next songs are not bad songs. I just feel like, all right, we heard what you had. Like the first half of the album, he almost like used all of his topics. He used everything that he was going to say, everything that he wanted to address. He addressed it on the first half of this album. So then after Misconception, it's like you're regurgitating. You're saying the same thing over and over again. Mm. So I'm just hearing, yeah, that song is cool, but you did it better earlier.
Mm, okay. Was It Worth It? Featuring Derek Minor and Crystal Nicole, produced by Dirty Rice. I like the sequencing here. Like, I think this is a nice change of pace after the last song. I like the drums on this. I do not like the hook. The song's okay.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Not a fan?
It's all right. It's all right. Okay. Beat is all right. It feels like it's missing something. It just feels like a watered down version of Mayday. You know how I felt about Mayday.
Okay.
I loved Mayday. You know, I'm like, yeah, did it better a year ago.
Okay. Bun B Speaks.
Yep.
Completely unnecessary.
Hey, look, it's the important rapper giving a shout out to the other rapper.
And look, I made fun of Big Sean when he did this on Detroit. I will always make fun of this. I don't understand this concept.
I always think about back in the early 2000s when I would do mixtapes, and part of me doing mixtapes was hitting all of my other rapper friends up. Like, yo, give me a drop. Oh God, yo, this is so-and-so, and you're checking out, blah, 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 blah.
The drop struggle is real. Like,
The drop struggle.
I can't. Oh, my goodness.
Tell him what you got. You got, like, Mobb Deep stories?
I got Mobb Deep stories. I got Clip stories. I got, oh, God. Sky Zoo stories. I got, oh, God. I did, oh, man, you want to talk? Listen, we'll come clean on Clock Radio Speakers. I put a mixtape together of remixes that I did. You remember we this? It's true. Because Armand did all the blends. Because here's a little secret: I produce and I mix and I helped master Kairos. When it comes to putting verses on different beats, it just doesn't exist in my brain. I've gotten better. Because I used to be awful. Like, my mom would be like, Doc, the verse needs to come in at this point.
And I, in the early 2000s, used to actually make blend tapes.
That's right. So Armand, you know, helped me out quite a bit. He's the executive, one of the executive producers on my mixtape.
There you go. Look at us foreshadowing. Started from the bottom, now we hit.
And let's just say, I have an intro that's got like 7 different beat switches with drops from like all these random people. It is so 2006. It is so shameful. Oh God. I did these music conferences and I take it around. Oh God. What? The struggle was real. So I can tell you, like, as a reformed struggle producer, I can tell you this is completely unnecessary. In 2013, of all things. Like, yeah. And look, there is a level here that I understand, which is to say, like, Bun B was surely a hero of Lecrae's growing up, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it, you know, if you had an opportunity to get, I'm trying to think who we could get for Kairos 2.
I mean, if I got, like, I think the only three rappers that would go, yo, would be Button, Sky Zoo. Why are you laughing? Button, Sky Zoo. Hold on. I'm going to tell you why. Button, you know why. Button, Sky Zoo, and Fonte. Because those are the three rappers that have best, if I could ever say, who sculpted your writing style musically, it would be those three guys. So that's personal. So that would be like, yo, you'd be like, yo, I got a drop from Fonte for you. I'd lose my mind.
I mean, what if, you know, I mean, what if we got Kanye to do, like, you know, Kairos 2 is everything, like, just, you know, ranting and raving.
Kairos 2, I'm on that goose right now. I'm not going to front. Please, that would be after every song. Like, hey, I got a Kairos skit. I got Kanye to talk about my album. You want to hear it again?
This time with this doc sample, like, you know.
You would totally make a different beat for every single interlude. Every that is single, so doc of you.
Every single interlude. anyway, I like, so that's why I'm saying, like, I understand it, but, like, you know, that's why you sort of need people like who to, like, be with you, like, sort of take a step back and be like, I don't know, like, when you're on the come up, like, you need that. Look, here's a secret, everybody. Lecrae is not on the come up anymore. Dude won a Grammy. Right? He's not the underdog anymore. I'm going to talk about that at the end of the tape because I got a little bit to talk about. But, like, Bun B Speaks, Church Close 1, maybe, even before that, absolutely. Church Close 2, you won a Grammy, man. Like, you know, act like you've been here. Like, I haven't been there. Like, you know.
Oh, son.
We've accomplished, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, we don't have Grammys. Like, you know, like, I get it, but, like, you know, at the same time, like, tighten this up, man. This is a lot of tracks. All right, now that I just made everybody mad. Anything else you want to say about Bun B? We talked way too much about Bun B Speaks.
We spent 15 minutes on an interlude.
Finer Things, produced by Burn One.
DJ Burn One, yeah.
Pleasantly surprised to see Burn One on here.
Yeah.
But I really want to hear Crit on this beat.
Oh, this is the Crit beat.
There's another one after this, too.
You know, I don't like this beat.
I like this beat, though.
And I like Burn One's production. Burn One can make a beat.
He's underrated, very underrated.
Yeah, he's very underrated. I'm cool off the song. He said these same things better earlier in the album.
Well, let me ask you this. So, you know, you had said previously some of these tracks he had done better on Gravity.
Yeah.
But isn't the point of this mixtape to reach out to those who maybe didn't hear Gravity?
I mean, so when I say that, I think that if these records stand out on their own, they're not bad records. Okay. I think the only record that I said was trash was I'm Turnt. But, you know, so if somebody hears, what did I say?
Was It Worth It?
Yeah, so Was It Worth It is a cool song. But for me, it was better when it was called Mayday and Big Crit was on it. And the beat was bigger and more dramatic and the verses were better. And, you know, the hook was there and all that. So, you know, that isn't really to discredit Was It Worth It on its own, but it does kind of bring it down when you put in the grand scheme of things, because as we'll talk about later on, this period of Lecrae is a different Lecrae from the previous anything that he's done prior to Church Close One. Church Close One was a declaration. It was a statement project. So you got Church Close One, Gravity, and Church Close Two, which, you know, thematically are different than his previous albums. So I'm going to compare those three. I'm not going to say the Rebel or After the Music Stops or whatever, Real Talk, because that's a different Lecrae. This is a totally different Lecrae than the old one.
Okay. So number 14, Hands Up, featuring Propaganda, produced by The Bridge. How you feel about this one?
I don't like this song. The song is incredibly awkward.
The beat is kind of interesting during the first half of the verses, but then it quickly tries to get, like, epic-y and doesn't really achieve it.
Yeah, it's just really awkward.
The hook is...
I'm not used to... What I had to kind of take into consideration is that I'm not used to Propaganda on these type of beats. Propaganda, if you listen to him, like, he does these really dramatic... I don't know. It's weird to hear or to describe his style of music that he normally raps or writes to, because he's like a poet slash rapper. So he kind of has an awkward, unorthodox flow. So to kind of hear him on this, like, you know, this turn up beat is like it's weird at first. And then after you get past that, you're like, all right, you know, he is from the West Coast and this is kind of a West Coast sounding beat. It's kind of in the same family as Unturned, but it's just not a good production. And it just brings down the value of the song itself. Cause I get what they were trying to do, but it just, you know.
Yeah, I'm skipping this one. My Whole Life Changed, produced by the Inner Circle and Street Symphony. How you feel about this one?
This is the APB of this album. Remember, APB is the record that, one of the records that we got killed for not liking. You know, I've heard the record live. I saw the record perform live, and I see what it does to people. This, again, thematically, was done better earlier in the album, but the type of beat and the hook and the message of the song, this record is going to kill live. So when he does this, it's going to kill live. But by itself,
this is a nice jump in energy in terms of the sequencing. I actually like this beat. It's a cool song. It's not nothing incredible, but you know, I do appreciate sort of like how they see. I mean, considering we're on track 15, like you sort of want that jump in energy, right? You don't want it just kind of mid tempo all the way down. So that's all I really got to say about that one.
And that's all I got to say about that.
If I Die Tonight, featuring Novel, produced by Justin Kaler. How you feel about this one?
Excuse me. You know, I've heard this concept done before a million times. You know me, I'm biased. I think the best version of this is going to be Joe Budden's from Moon Music 2. But you know, this concept is just, you know, if I got 24 hours to kick the bucket, you know, probably eat some fried chicken and drink a Nance, like, you know, it's better on the Mace record. Like, I, you know, all right, okay, I'm cool. I've heard this before. I'm cool.
Remember when we had that DMX verse with
24 the video left until my death,
and then we had Money, Power, and Respect, and they were both like killing it at the same time. And this is right before My Dog's Act came out. Like,
listen,
he just came out of nowhere.
When I was at the gym, I probably need to just put more. You just remind me. I'm gonna just put more DMX records on this on my workout playlist. I mean, God, Stop Being Greedy. The intro, There's Dark and Hell Is Hot. Blackout.
Blackout is incredible. Jay
comes in and just slaps everybody up.
There was a period of time where Jay really mastered that. I'm so arrogant, but I've decided I'm going to engage with these lesser rappers who are on this track with me.
With these ruffians.
Right. He's almost like a little irritated. Four Alarm Blaze is a little bit like that too.
Oh yeah, he did kill Four Alarm Blaze, yeah.
Yeah, like 98, 99 J. Some of those beats, you know, they definitely sound dated, but whew. When he wants to. You know, we're already starting to get the, you know, dumb it down to double my dollars, Jay. A little bit. But when he wanted to, yeah. Blackout, you know, Stop Being Greedy. God. Great job with that sample. Like, fantastic job with that sample.
Man, that's a Diana Ross sample, right?
Yeah, of course it is.
Man, I wrote a book report on that man. Freshman year of high school, had a report on that man. My visual presentation was the Rough Riders Anthem video. I just talked about his individuality and his, like, man.
God. You know what? You know what somebody linked to online I saw the other day? I never saw this video before. Welcome to D-Block video.
Welcome to D-Block what? Eminem?
No. Well, yeah. Eminem Locked, joint? Yeah.
Two Guns Up.
Yeah. I call it Welcome to D Block. My bad. Two Guns Up. You're right. Two Guns Up. There's a video for Two Guns Up.
You know what I heard today? D Block Burial. remember when they rapped over Soundboy?
Yeah, Burial. Yeah.
Man, those mixtapes. in the early 2000s.
If I'm D-Block, not just clapping and stomping, we, you know.
I am. D-Block, specifically Sheik, would have a different freestyle for every single mixtape. Sheik was kicking off mixtapes. Sheik!
So you say that, but like 97, people thought Sheik was the dude.
Sheik used to wash Kissing Styles. Go listen to Bad Boy. If you can find it, go listen to, did a freestyle over Case.
Listen to Benjamin's.
Yeah,
Benjamin's. He's got the best locks verse on Benjamin's.
They did a freestyle of a Case's Touch Me, Tease Me, and he just washes Jaden Styles. Jesus, he washes them. The Get At Me Dog remix washes them. So, yeah, man.
It wasn't until the second Rough Riders album when people were like, oh, Jada. It was a little before then, but that was when it was like the second Lox album.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was Ride or Die Volume 1. It was Blood Pressure and
I love Dope Blood Money. Pressure. Love Blood Pressure.
Yeah, Blood Pressure, Dope Money. That's when Jada was like, oh, okay. Absolutely.
All right, now that we've gotten completely off course.
It's all good. It's what we had to do. We had to do one.
So we talked, If I Die Tonight, we're cool. I didn't even say, so the beat is pretty minimal, but I think it actually works pretty well. This is not my favorite hook. And like you said, the verse and the concept, they're cool. They're cool, but I don't mind the beat. But I think that's all for that one. Last track, Hang On, produced by Tone Jones, Dirty Rice, and Street Symphony.
Yeah.
How you feel about this one?
I like this beat. Beat is cool. I feel like this concept was done earlier this year and better. This reminded me of Yavis has a record on his album called 55 Summers, which does this concept to a T, but just pulls it off better. It's cool, but I like the beat though. The beat is straight.
This really sounds like a Big Crit song. And in fact, Lecrae's even rapping a little bit like a more hyped up Crit.
I forgot to talk about Lecrae's flow.
Well, now's a good time.
He's like, I know it's like, I would say it's Meek Millery, but
oh, no.
I know Lecrae's been doing longer than Meek Mill, and that's the problem. Every song, yo, like that. I think that was the dope thing about Cosign Part 2 was like he approached that differently flow wise. Like, oh, I haven't heard Lecrae rap like this. So he can do it, and then he just goes back to that pocket flow, and it's like, all right, okay. But, yeah, that's it. But, yeah.
All right. So overall, how does Armand see this project?
This is how I'll say it. It's better than Part 1.
Okay.
But Part 1 has more standout tracks.
So it's more consistent.
Yes, 2 is way more consistent than 1. Okay. Way more consistent than 1. But 1 had some, whereas like I could go and say, all right, I feel like hearing Inspiration, which you hated for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Or I want to hear Black Rose, or I want to hear Price of Fame. You know what I'm saying? Like I can point out songs. A lot of people like No Regrets or whatever. And then for this one, it's like, if I play this album, I'm probably going to start at the beginning, or I might start from Let It Whip or something like that. Mm. Other than that, yeah, I'm going to start at track 1 and just skip through or just let it play. At least the first half. I'm cool off of the second half of the album. And of course, in true Clock Radio speakers fashion, and Doc, maybe you could, you know, you can agree with me or not, but this could have been slimmed down a little bit.
Yeah, I would say it could certainly have been slimmed down a little bit. There's a lot of tracks here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I know you've got a whole theory that you want to speak on. Because I got some comments. I mean, I can say this out of the way. I mean, so honestly, I would say that overall, I think it's okay. You know, there's nothing. There's a couple songs in here that are just outright like this is better than Eminem's album, right? I mean, this is not
okay. What's the better album, Doc?
Uh huh.
Marshall Mathers or Magna Carta?
Magna Carta. Okay. There are listenable songs on Magna Carta, like more than one or two.
Okay.
The problem with Magna Carta is people overhyped the beats, and Jay really mails it in.
He does mail it.
Marshall Mathers too has like some tracks where you're sitting there going, "How did that make it out of the studio?" Dude got Kendrick in 2013, which we might end up looking back on the same way we think about, oh, that's like J98.
DMX in 98, yeah, that's
right?
True.
We may end up looking at it that way. He got Kendrick in 2013, and that's what came out? I mean, yeah, Magna Carta is better than that. Okay. But, I mean, I think The Weeknd's album might be better than, like, I mean, that,
No, this just reminds me. I need to grab that Pharrell remix again because I don't have it anymore.
Yeah, that Pharrell remix is better than anything on that Eminem album.
Oh, by far, that's one of my favorite songs of the summer.
So this is okay. I would say that I've said this before about Lecrae, and I will say it again. I disagree with the general strategy,
which is,
I've said this before, so I'll summarize it. Basically, the strategy appears to be, hey, I'm just like what you hear in the radio, except I'm not full of sin, right? And I'm not saying curse words. Like it's meant to be of the quality and style of what you hear on the radio. And that goes everything from, you know, I'm Turnt, which sounds like, you know, a little bit like a DJ Mustard record, like the whole, you know, it's something like Round of Applause. Like you get that whole thing. Like it's to me, this is meant to be like, hey, it's just like what you hear, but you know, it's clean. Right. It's better for you.
Yeah.
Like, and I just don't think that that's like the best way forward. Like maybe that's his lane and that's fine. But I think that Christian hip hop is going to look to Lecrae, who's clearly the biggest success, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going to look to this, and we always talk about lessons learned on the show. Like, I should get a t-shirt that says lessons learned, right?
Yeah, usually, yeah, that should be one.
Like, I would say lessons learned, and like, you know, I wonder if people are going to look at Lecrae's thing and be like, okay, that's how we got to do it, right? It needs to be, you know, a couple quote-unquote secular producers, or, you know, maybe just straight up, like, you know, we're going to make it sound like what you hear on the radio, and you can feel, you know, so that way you're not feeling like, oh, that sounds weird. Like, I can't play this out in front of people. Like, how am I going to listen to this? Like, what I want to see going forward, and maybe I'm asking too much of Lecrae, and I get that. Like, what I'd like to see, like get your, like, invent something new, right? Mm. Like, and I realize that, you know, this is coming from the guy who's sitting here doing breakbeats with our mom, but like, you know, I would say, like, really to be, like, powerful and impactful, like, it would be to say, no, we've got a new sound, right? Like, typically when breakthroughs happen in hip-hop, when sort of the balance of power shifts from one region or from one group of artists to a new group of artists, it's not because they sounded like the existing group of artists.
Mm.
It's because they put a point out there on the map and they said, this is where we're going.
Yeah.
And when you hear those records, there are certain records where you hear and you're like, I know that's the future. When everybody heard Still DRE, you knew that was the future.
Mm-hmm.
You heard that beat and you're like, okay, so this is where we're going right now. This is what's happening. There are certain records that do that. I mean, it's funny, right? I mean, it had already been building, but on the R&B side, when everybody heard, this is going to be a funny example, when everybody heard Usher's Yeah, everybody knew, oh, okay. So this thing that we had been hearing all over, you know, bubbling up on the radio and getting really popular, pop is about to go there immediately. Right? Sometimes that happens with records. Right? Like, and what I'm not hearing from this, and you know, like I said, maybe I'm asking too much. I get that. But considering, I don't want to say the hype, but I would say a little bit of the hype. Like, there's nothing game changing on here. And again, that's, I'm asking so much, but that's what we expect out of Kanye. When Kanye doesn't do something game changing, people look at him and go, oh, right? If Drake doesn't do something different, they go, oh, I already heard that. Or, oh, I hear that elsewhere. Like, that's what we expect. So in a way, like, I mean, it's sort of a nod to Lecrae. Like, okay, like, you know, and he's not the underdog anymore. Like, if anything, like, he gets to sort of be like, oh, I'm the Christian hip-hop guy you've heard of, right? So now it's like, okay, well, what do you, you know, okay, so you've established yourself. So what do you got?
Okay.
So I guess that's my rant, my rave today. I've said most of that, you know, in previous episodes, but so I would say that my opinion still hasn't changed. Like, this is okay. And I'm not trying to be hateful. I'm not trying to be, you know, disrespectful. I'm not trying to stir up any trouble. Like, I'm treating this like how I treat every other project we listen to.
Right.
There are no lowered expectations. Nobody grades on a curve. You know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
All right. Armand, I defer to you. Let's hear the theory.
Well, I mean, you ended up hitting the nail on the head with the theory pretty much. I think what it is that I'm no longer going to expect Lecrae to do anything outside of what he's already done.
Mm. So you've already come around to this. So the challenge I just laid out, you're already like, nope, that's not happening.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Oh,
I think that his intent is to be the, hey, you guys who used to listen to this on the radio, you can listen to me because I sound just like, but I'm going to edify you and you're not going to feel bad about listening to the stuff that they talk about. I think that's his lane. And I realize now that there are so many. See, what we do is with a lot of hip hop guys and just with music, period, we kind of want them to do a lot of different things. So when
you say we, you mean you and I?
No, just people. Fans, period. Okay. Yeah, fans, period. Yeah, not just you and I. When we want, you know, and blame Jay for this, the club record, the street record, the I'm sorry song, the, you know what I'm saying? Like, we want that one artist to do a whole bunch of things, but take an artist.
We know,
like,
who to blame for that.
It's Jay. I said Jay, right?
No, we blame Big for that.
Okay, Big and okay. But take an artist like Juicy J. Juicy J dropped a really dope album this year. And it was not outside of his wheelhouse, minus maybe two songs. So does that mean that the album is not good because it didn't have a wide range of concepts and beats? Or was it a dope album because it was true to Juicy J and it was exactly what his fan base expected from him? I don't want a We Are the World record from Juicy J. I want something that I can go to the gym and work out to. Something that's going to hype me up, pump me up. If I was still going to the club, that's what I would listen to before I would go to the club. For some people, before they go, you know, to youth revivals, before they go to events, they play sports, whatever, they're going to play My Whole Life Changed. They're going to play The Fever. You know what I'm saying? So I get it now. That's just what Lecrae is going to be from here on out. And I say this because we've given him three albums to say, all right, what are you doing different? Because Church Closed One was like, hey, I'm doing something different. We were like, all right. Gravity was like, hey, I'm doing something different. We were like, Church Closed Two, he sounds the most comfortable that he sounded doing the different thing, which leads me to believe that this is what he's going to do. Until he makes it a point to do something else. So what that presents as a challenge to other Christian hip hop artists is that you have to make up the difference. So when the guy says, oh, okay, Lecrae, because the general consensus is that Lecrae is dope. He can rap, blah, 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 but he may not be a cup of tea. All right, so is this the only guy y'all have, or are y'all still doing that, you know, turn to Ephesians, hands up for Jesus? Like, are y'all still doing that? So who else do y'all have? Oh, you guys have you have Bizzle. Oh, you have Cambino. Oh, you have Dre Murray and We Live as Kings. Oh, you know what I'm saying? So there's other people that you can listen to kind of fill the holes that normally we expect out of one artist. So, I mean, I guess the question is that a bad, you know, is that a bad thing? Is it a bad thing that Lecrae is just, this is the trick that he does. He's going to pull the rabbit out of the hat, and let's just get mad when he doesn't pull the rabbit out of the hat, because maybe when he tries to saw himself in half, he dies. Maybe he can't do that. Mm. But maybe he's really good at pulling rabbits out of his hat. So we should just be appreciative of the rabbit. So that's my theory.
Okay. So where does Lecrae go from here?
That's a great question. I have no idea. I have no idea.
Because, I mean, this was an anticipated sequel, but the anticipation for the quote-unquote real album. Although I think it's interesting, the fact that this is being sold on iTunes, right? This is...
you know what I was thinking about? I'm thinking now, like, I think our idea of mixtape, like, I just think that's dying. I just think that they're just projects now. Like, okay. The only difference between a mixtape and an album is probably sample clearances and budget. But people are going to put these albums on iTunes, which is really going to, you know, bring up sampling and bring up some other ideas down the line, some other issues that they're going to work through. But I just think that, you know, just like we look at Crit, you know, people think Live from the Underground is his first album. I think it's his fourth.
Hmm. Crit doesn't. Crit clearly thinks it's his first.
Absolutely.
So, so I think as long as artists still think it matters, it'll matter. Because they're going to treat him differently.
Yeah, true.
The fans might be ready for this post-album world, but I don't think most artists are.
True.
Right? Because they still, you know, they want the debut album. They want the classic. They want the, you know.
Right. They want the Reasonable Doubt. They want the blueprint. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they spend so much time making all this music on mixtapes. They get to the first album and they totally didn't realize, I already made my first album.
Yeah, exactly.
They're keeping up this concept in their head of what a debut album could be, and they didn't realize they're on their fourth album.
Yeah. My fourth album. We always do that. Yeah, we needed my fourth album shirt too.
I don't know. Diddy might come and shake his head. Yeah,
come for the 700%.
Yeah, and then I have to, you know, somewhat explain to him there's actually no profit from Clack Radio Speakers. You know, the look on Diddy's face would just be like, no money? Yeah, I don't know where Lecrae goes next either, you know. I don't know. I mean, I will say that, you know, I would be surprised if he doesn't take a real shot at a quote-unquote like mainstream record, like get the whole sort of organizational structure behind, like really pushing a radio record, getting that right record, getting on 106. Like I would almost be surprised if he didn't try to do that. Like,
well, he gets on 106 a lot.
But you know what I mean. I mean really going for it.
Getting his video on 106.
Yeah. I mean I mean going for it.
I mean I think that seeing what Macklemore did kind of puts him in position to do something like that, where he may not necessarily, because he's, you know, he owns Reach Records, so, you know, he could pay Universal or pay, you know, one of these other labels to kind of work a single for him.
Macklemore created his own lane, though.
And
Nobody sounds like Macklemore.
And Lecrae can create his own lane. He can. Will he? If you listen to this album, you listen to this tape, you can tell that Lecrae got a lot of backlash. People were making diss records about him. The comments in the forums, like rappers, like we got to stay off these comments and these. We got to stay out these comment sections. We got to stay off these forums because they will drive you crazy. They are a micro. And I believe we talked about that when Cambino, Dre, and Yavis were on the show a while back. But such a small percentage of the world. Not to say that they don't matter, but like you can't hang your hat on that. And it's obvious that, and I know this for a fact, that Lecrae sees and hears, knows all and sees all. He's like Oz. Like, you know, he definitely knows about what people are saying about him. So, you know. He was definitely taking a lot of shots. So is he going to be, or he was definitely taking a lot of shots because he took a lot of shots. So does he, with this next project, does he stay in his wheelhouse because this is his bread and butter? This is how he makes money and he's successful and this is how he's able to push his message. Or does he turn the corner and do something totally different, like you're asking, to reach in a totally new audience for him? Does he do it?
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that if you don't do that, then I don't really understand why you make this sort of like edgeway into, you know, you doing the mixtape with Don Cannon. Like, isn't that logically like, okay, you did the first mixtape with Don Cannon, got the Grammy, now you have the follow mixtape with Don Cannon, supposedly supposed to be bigger and better. Like, what, I mean, is that building towards something, or is it just supposed to be, well, okay, I did a couple mixtapes. Like, it seems like the logical choice, but you're right. I don't know if that's what he wants to do.
I don't know.
And if, I mean, I'll tell you, you know, if he's responding to, and I look, believe me, we get criticism, you know, we got criticism of Kairos, we get criticism of the show, and of course, we go, okay, you know, we take it personally, and then, you know, calm down and relax. So I can only imagine what he's getting. You know, I can only imagine what he's getting, because, you know, he's on a different level than we are. But I totally lost my train of thought. Oh, what I was gonna say is, you know, if he's responding to the backlash he got for this slight move,
yes,
like, it's kind of weird. It's like, okay, well, it seems like the progression of his career, like, he's trying to make that, okay, let's do it, but, you know, I don't know, you know, he can't, if he thought he got backlash for Church Clothes, I mean,
well, I would hope, because a big part of it was that people were saying, oh, he's not a Christian anymore, because every line, because if you listen to those old, like, go on Spotify and listen to some of his old stuff. Everything was like, this is what Christians like to do. This is what, like, they like to talk about Jesus, of course, but, you know, it was very anti, we don't listen to Jay-Z. You know, there's like poster boys for all things evil in the world. And Jay-Z's a poster boy. He's a poster boy for demons. He's a, like, for all this stuff. And while Lecrae was that guy, he was, you know, we don't do that. We don't listen to that. Now he's got B.O.B. on his album. He's taking pictures with Kendrick Lamar. He's working with David Banner, Paul Wall. And a lot of Christians don't like that. Like, I could tell you some stories, dog. Like, I have a friend out here who is trying to book a Christian hip hop artist out here in Columbus. So we were just talking about it, and he's like, yo, you know, he's like, so where do you think I could, you know, where do you think I could book him at? Because I got some ideas for some venues, but, you know, what do you think? And I said, well, maybe you should send him here. And it's a really prominent venue here in Columbus. It could probably fit roughly a couple hundred people, probably about maybe 300-400 people or something like that, which is pretty good. And he was like, yeah, I thought about that. But, you know, when I talked to some of my friends about it, they kind of got scared and said that I shouldn't do it. Like, there are bubble Christians who just stay and don't. And because they stay in that bubble, they want you to stay in that bubble. So when you decide that you want to pop the bubble and go outside and do something different, they're acting like you're committing a sin against God, when it's really, they're just being led out of their conviction and their condemnation, which is a totally different conversation. So I say that to say, I think Lecrae is setting it up for that by now. And I mean, I say this kind of haphazardly, but gee, if everything you do, if it has the, because this is what happens. He does something, people call it crazy. He gets all this backlash. It calms down. And they're like, oh, he's still talking about God. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, he can turn the corner. He's just going to have to deal with that initial wave of backlash. Kind of like what Clock Radio Speakers did with Church Clothes 1.
Let me say this. I said this probably the first time we talked about Lecrae, and I'll say it every single time because I really believe it. You don't have to say the word God to talk about God.
Right.
And I am of no authority to talk about this, if only to say that's, you know, when Armand, you don't explicitly talk about your relationship with Jesus and God on every track that you do.
I do, right? But I don't. I do, well, but I, but
what I mean by that is, yes, it's the idea is that it's supposed to be evident in the world that you live.
Yes.
Right. That's sort of the whole point.
Yep.
To me, right? And that, and, you know, I think that really if Christian hip hop is going to, if someone from the Christian hip hop subgenre is going to break out, it's going to be in that way.
You don't think so? You think it's gonna be like that?
I don't think it's gonna be. I think you're gonna have to talk about it without talking about it. I do. I think that the times where you can, I think that the records where, the successful like popular records that talk about Jesus, aside from Jesus Walks, can we think of one?
Stomp, Kirk Franklin. I mean, they were playing it on MTV. I remember that summer.
I remember like, Stomp.
Every 10, 15, I mean, from what I hear from some of my older friends, they were playing that in the club.
But you understand that the non-Christian music world sees Kirk Franklin as a one-hit wonder.
Do they? No, they don't.
Of course they do.
You think so?
Yes. Like, Ooh. Oh, that's the guy who made Stomp, right? The same way that they go, oh, that's the guy who made I Wish.
Wait, hold. You are not disrespecting Carl Thomas on Clock Radio Speakers, are you? Don't do that.
I'm in Ski-Lo.
Oh, Ski-Lo. Oh. He's about to catch it. He's about to catch a fly. He's about to catch a flight. He's about to catch the beats.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's how Kirk Franklin is seen. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that far and away that's his biggest hit record.
But nah. Not even close.
No, it was such a it's one of those things where it was such a big hit record for him that all his other hits, because they don't amass to that level of success, that they're not considered hits.
Pop radio does not remember anything else from Kirk Franklin.
Oh, he just had Smile on the radio. He's had, I think he's had, I want to say since then, he's probably had about 4 records on the radio, on pop radio. Maybe not to the, no, not maybe, not to the degree of Stomp. Not at all.
Okay.
But still on some sort of level and not just urban radio.
Okay.
He's been on pop radio, but I get what you're saying, though. But I just have this feeling that as people are more led by their convictions, and I'm not just talking about just in Christian music, just period. People are going to be led by their convictions, and they're going to say more and more things, and the FCC and all the things are going to loosen up their reins a little more and a little more. I think that there's going to come a point where all of that stuff is going to be in the marketplace.
All of what stuff?
Everything.
Okay.
Everything. If there's going to be people explicitly talking about Jesus, and it will be on the radio. There's going to be people talking explicitly about death and destruction, and it will be on the radio, even more so than they do now. I just see it before it gets tight, because I agree with you. There is going to come a point where it's going to be very roundabout in what you talk about. I believe that. But I believe before that happens, there will be some sort of cultural renaissance where people, where this do you mentality that we talk about and that we profess and that we like, it'll really come full fledged. If you believe in, you know, you believe in homosexual rights, you're going to not just kind of roundabout make a song. You're going to stand up for that. And there's going to be a lane. If you have your convictions about this, you're going to stand up for that. And there's going to be a lane. And there's, everybody's going to be able to make a choice and decide for themselves what lane they want to take and whose flag they want to follow. I totally believe that.
I feel like we're having a conversation about another conversation right now.
Nah, I mean, we are, but I guess it was to your point of, you know, whoever breaks through is going to, because okay, I'll ask you this. Do you think that was Lecrae kind of beating you over the head with Jesus on this project?
No.
Was it a little, okay. So whoever does it could do it in the style of Lecrae, but you knew, listening to the album, you knew that his conviction came from God.
Let me put it this way. Like, to me, like, somebody will really have like broken through to like the pop mainstream when the first thing that's written about them isn't, oh, they're a Christian artist. Because you're already being painted into a corner.
Yeah.
Right? The same way that it took a long time before it was like, oh, well, that's an urban artist. Right?
Sure. You got your a good example of that a few years ago was Trey Songz.
Sure, right? I mean, he was sort of segregated to urban radio. Okay, yeah. That's where you can go.
Yeah, absolutely. And he tried to kind of break the ceiling. It didn't work, and now he's just like, all right, I'm just an urban radio artist, and he's just cool there. Mm.
All right. Anything else you want to say about Lecrae and Church Close Too?
All I'm going to say is this. Mm-hmm. I don't want subtweets about me. Trending topics based off of anything from this show that offended you.
I totally want trend. What are you talking about?
No, 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 no. If I say that you, that if I say that Lecrae can't rap, and then 2 days later, I say it on one of the biggest platforms, Christian hip hop. And then 2 days later, somebody from your camp puts out a Lecrae got bars trending topic based off of that. And then you subtweet about me putting out Chevy Impala Music 3 and saying that somebody who reviews music shouldn't be making music. I don't want to hear that. Y'all know what my Twitter name is. We announced it before the show. It's at Armand Wake Up. You can tweet me. You can DM me. We can talk. Don't do all the subliminal. Don't do it. It's corny. Don't do it. If you got something to say, use the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers. Tweet Doc. Tweet me. I will talk to you. I will DM you my number and we can have a conversation. Do not roundabout. Don't do it. Because next time I won't be so nice and I will call you out. That's it.
I mean, as long as y'all link to the show, you can roundabout subtweet me as long as you want. Please, as always, again, use the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers. Please check out teespring.com/clockradiospeakers.
Yes, yes, please, please,
If you enjoy the show, you know, help us build it, make it bigger. T-shirts are $15. Hopefully, I want to support. But awesome. What are you playing on the radio this week?
I mean, I guess we'll have to do some Christian hip hop episode.
I guess. You're like, well, if you twist my arm and
okay, I'll play it. Now, I think we'll do a Christian hip hop episode. So use the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers. Let me know some dope Christian hip hop records that y'all want me to play. And we'll see if we can't get on the show Sunday nights, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. thepulse-radio.com, or download the TuneIn app for Android, BlackBerry, iPhone, and search Pulse 2K13. Hopefully they're going to change that because we've only got a few weeks left in the year. And yeah, we'll see what we can do.
All right, so we'll catch y'all next week then. And you got anything else to plug, man? Anything else going on?
We got a lot of stuff going on this month. This Saturday, I will be on Antidote TV out in Pensacola, Florida. We'll be talking Kairos on there. I will tweet a link out on Twitter where you can watch the show. Black Tuesday, next Tuesday, I will be there. Black Tuesday reunion show. I'll be there actually filming for my documentary that comes out next year. So we'll get that. Yeah, that's it for the immediate future. I got a lot coming up. So stay tuned.
All right. And I'm not doing anything. No.
All right. No, we make beats, son. Yo, this is how I know. Cause this is what happens. What Doc does is like,
this is the show after the show right now.
It's the show after the show. It's the show at the after party in the hotel. So what Doc does, like, if we're in between projects, Doc will send me beats and be like, all right, that's cool. Or nah, we're really feeling that. And I'll be like, all right. When we get into like project mode, that's where P90X comes from. There's always one, you know, I'll say this. There's always one beat from him that starts off the project. So with Condiments and with 3 Day Weekend, it was Q&A. With, that beat was so crazy.
It's mixed with, terribly. God.
Shut up. even with Kairos, in retrospective, it was Walking Contradiction. Because that was supposed to be for another project, but it ended up kickstarting Kairos. So, you know, as you may or may not know, I'm working on a project called The Epiphany of Marcus Graham, which will be out this February. And as it stood, Doc wasn't on the project. I had the beats picked out. I had the features picked out. I was like, I'm just going to do this real quick because it's going to be a very small project. We're not trying to take the attention off of Kairos from just merely, you know, doing some other stuff that I'll talk about a little later. But Doc is like, oh, really? He starts rubbing his hands. And Doc has just been sending me Dylon for the last 2 or 3 days. He sent me beats that have actually changed the course of the project, like the horrible friend that he is. So that's what Doc is doing. He's not doing it. He is doing stuff. He's He's working on some fire. So if you capable rappers, I won't say you rappers, if you capable rappers, bust that budget open, holler at my man Doc.
The problem is honestly, like, I'll be honest, like when you're working on this project, like, you know, everything's going to you first.
Yeah, it is.
I'm gonna be honest. So I know it is what it is. But you know, you've turned down beats that you wish you didn't turn down.
I was actually playing. I was at my friend's house a few weeks ago, and we were talking about the production on Kairos. My friends would compliment me on it. Mm. And they were like, "Yeah, so what beats do you like?" And of course, P90X. This is Kairos, you know, among or whatever. So Smurf, one of the executive producers, he does all of my visual work, photos, videos. He's helping me. He's, you know, doing all that stuff. He was like, "Have you heard some of Doc's beats?" And, you know, my other friend was like, "Nah." So we start playing him beats that you sent me or whatever that I've turned down. He's like, "You turn these down?" I'm like, "Yeah, I've just been kind of sitting on them." So I was like, "Yeah, so, you know, Doc has done work with Lloyd Banks." So they're like, "Oh, word, really?" And I was like, "Yeah." So we go to YouTube and we play Without You. And they're like, How long was I sitting on that beat, Doc? Like 6 months?
It was a while.
You casually see it, just like, "Yeah, you were sitting on it for a while, you idiot."
I made that beginning of May 2007. And it came out, actually it wasn't 6 months, and it came out, oh wait, like, 2007? Is that right?
Before? Nah, because...
Were you sitting on that for over a year?
It was 295, right? Wasn't in the twos? It was in the late, because you hit strides.
The late
twos and like the early threes are incredible.
I thought that was 190 something.
No. No, I think your first crazy beat was probably like one of the early twos.
Okay. I can't keep these all straight. No. That might be right. Yeah. Like 272, 274, 281. Yeah,
that's when I got back from.
We are so inside baseball right now.
I got back from Japan then, and I didn't have internet for like a month. So when I got back and I got my internet set up, you were on AIM, mm-hmm. and you were like, "Yo, I got some joints." That's when you sent the David Ruff, 272, 274.
Yeah, that was early. That was like spring 2007.
That's early. That's early because I got to Washington. I got to my duty station in Washington top of the year. I got there like January 5th.
You can make me go. You know I got records of all this.
I know you do.
All right. You make me look this up. I'm digging deep in the Adobe Live files.
I'm just going to say
I should edit this all out.
I'm just going to say that this was the first episode you didn't use Wikipedia. And it's true. Because I said that, I'm not going to allow a contest so that people can win Kairos. I had to announce it first. So I win a copy of my own album.
Oh, that can't be right. Hold on. Okay, here it is. Yeah. Looks like May 2007.
Really? That far?
That far out. And then, yeah, the Banks thing didn't come out till September 08. Year and a half.
Man, so I had that. I had Cuss Word City Part 2. I had...
Oh, what was the Cuss Word City.
I had... what was the other one that he had on Halloween Havoc?
Oh. You know, I've really forgotten about all those beats.
Because I gave you that sample.
You probably did.
I gave you that sample and you flipped it. And I was like, "Yeah, that's dope." And I just never. And then I had Never Enough for a while too, but I didn't like Never Enough until Banks got on it.
Rappers.
I was like, "Yeah, it was all right." And then I said, "Rappers." Oh, you snarky producers. But yeah, so Doc is making a. He's got a really important record on Marcus Graham right now. Really important record on there. Conceptually,
so. I don't even know what it is because we haven't even recorded it yet. But
I haven't even wrote it. I just got the hook and the concept. I just know that it's important to the. I make albums weird. I realize I put them together really weird. I write last. But yeah.
All right. So I think that now we're officially ending the show.
Yeah, we're good.
All right. Catch y'all next week.